Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
Hey, everybody, before we get started, if you are new to Backseat Rider and you don't currently use the Lyft app to get around, just want to quickly make you aware of my promo code. Lyft, FYI, is not a sponsor of this podcast. It has nothing to do with the content you're about to hear, but every Lyft driver gets a promo code, and I am no exception to that. My code is Backseat Rider. It's just all one word, just the name of this podcast, Backseat Rider. And if you punch it in when you sign up for Lyft, it is good for up to $50 in free ride credit. And if you use it, it also helps me out a lot. Also, before we get to the show, to another company who is a sponsor of Backseat Rider, and that is TrueCar. If you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what that stands for. But what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody when all you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from TrueCar. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car that you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. TrueCar dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because TrueCar shows you what other people paid for that same car that you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or a used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com presentation.
Whenever it comes on, I honestly never skip it.
It was just like one of those songs, like when you hear it that first time, it just like clicked, and I was like, you know what? And I was like, everything's gonna be fine, like get over it eventually.
And it resonates with me over experiences I've had with people in my life.
Especially it's good like when I don't have anyone by me or close to me, you know, that I consider anchors in my life.
Yeah.
And that song just really is another anchor for me.
And then I heard it, and then like from the very beginning, I'm like, the lyrics, I was just like, wow. I'm like, that's me right now.
Probably during the most difficult times, I'll listen to it like on repeat for an hour.
If I asked you to think about a piece of music that has had a big impact on your life, is there a particular song that might stand out to you? A piece of music that maybe over the years you find yourself just kind of turning to, good times and bad times, the kind of song that you might say something like this about.
Every time that's come on my playlist or, you know, shuffling through stuff, it's not one that I skip over no matter what mood I'm in. It's always one that I actually sit and listen to.
Welcome to another episode of Backseat Rider, the podcast where I drive Lyft and the passengers who end up in the backseat of my car become the cast of this show. And as my longtime listeners know, we've talked to the backseat riders about impactful books. We've talked to them about impactful movies. So this week, I feel like this is the next logical step in that progression. I asked my passengers to try to zero in on a piece of music that, for them, has left some kind of deep imprint on their life.
It's Duke Ellington and John Coltrane, In a Sentimental Mood.
In a Sentimental World?
Mood.
Oh, In a Sentimental Mood. And that's Coltrane and Duke Ellington?
This is a woman who was exhausted when she got in the car. It was after a long day at work, and I picked her up downtown. And she's 38 years old. She works for a nonprofit that places artwork throughout the city of Chicago. And she told me that because of the heat that day, that everyone she had come across over the course of the day seemed to be a bit off. And the heat was actually making her feel a little bit off that day as well, but she still agreed to talk to me about her song.
For me, when I hear John Coltrane play the saxophone, and particularly when he's partnered with Duke Ellington in this song, it's very sultry, but at the same time, it feels like a very deep meditation. It slows the pulse down, or it slows my pulse down, and it relaxes me and helps me clear my head. And at the same time, I feel like it, you know, like when you, I don't know, for me sometimes my brain can be over flooded, and that kind of trickles down into the spine and into the heart, you know. And it impacts like all the muscles, so things get tensed up. And when I can listen to this song, it just makes everything relaxed. It feels like the ocean to me. It just calms everything down. So it just helps release all of the emotions, and it helps everything that repeats or replays in my head. It makes it stop, and I can just kind of focus on a saxophone, and I can focus on Duke Ellington's piano playing, and it feels like a warm embrace, and it feels like the ocean. It's very soothing, it's very calming, and it feels warm, you know, like the way your grandma would make you your favorite soup or give you like a big hug.
And she actually remembers the exact moment when she first came across the song In a Sentimental Mood as a young girl back in the 80s.
I used to love watching the Cosbys because it was like the only family of color like on the TV.
Yeah.
And it was just like this, you know, clearly, I mean, it was just like a fantasy perfect world. But the father used to play character, and I realize Bill Cosby nowadays is not well revered. But,
right.
But in the TV show, he always used to play jazz music. And so that's when I first heard it in one of the episodes. And later when I was older, I was able to hear more of it.
She was able to hear more of it because as a middle schooler, she rediscovered it on a movie soundtrack. And even though it was years later, her brain again latched onto the tune.
It was the Love Jones soundtrack. And I was able to get it on there. I was like, I found it again. I was so excited.
And since that rediscovery, the song has just been this fixture in her life. In fact, she describes it as like an old friend.
A lot of the tragic parts in my life, you know, losing my father to cancer when I was in college, and, you know, helped me get through all those kind of 4 or 5 years. And he was struggling with that. And it also, you know, got me through a lot of, I was in an abusive relationship for about 5.5 years. And so sometimes all I could do, I would just lose myself in there, just put the headphones on and play it to help escape where I was and what I was having to deal with.
So. Yeah.
Feels like it's saving me in those moments. Some are too hard to want to like talk about.
Sure.
But I remember holding my baby nephew for the first time. He's like 17 now, but you know, he was tiny and just like this little doll in my arms, and rocking him to sleep, and you know, and ironically too, I mean, that was when my dad was dying. And he did get to spend, you know, he got to hold him, and yeah.
That was his grandson.
Yeah, he got to meet his grandson before he died and play with him and know him briefly in time. And you know, I'd never experienced, you know, such a slow time, like this never-ending feeling of time that's watching, it feels like watching death in slow motion.
Yeah.
And not knowing how to navigate that. And growing up, like, you know, in South Texas, it's just, you know, and I guess anywhere, I mean, you get all sorts of characters, the family members that just, think this is all because of God. It's God's calling. And I'm like, whatever. You know, I mean, I just, that never sat well with me. And then others who kept wanting to try to give so much advice. And it was like, I don't want to hear anything you have to say. I just want someone to hear me, you know, like struggle through this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I guess I think of that time and how, like, there were moments where it was just so overwhelming to feel so much anger. I mean, because it wasn't like any of us, like my sister, my brother, or I had the best of relationship. My father was very hard on all of us. And, you know, not knowing how to... how does one reconcile this kind of slow, painful death with someone that you love, but someone who's hurt you so much? It's hard. It's hard trying to navigate all those emotions and feelings all at once. And this song would just always kind of help me get through that. But
we pulled off of the highway and we're driving through West Garfield Park, which is this tough neighborhood on the west side. And at that moment, my passenger pulled out her phone and she introduced me to the song right then. We were on the side streets at this point, and taking a look out the window, it was a beautiful summer scene. It seemed like most of the neighbors were outside. Kids were running around shirtless because of the heat. Friends, family, neighbors, all hanging out on the front porches. It was almost like a block party on every block in the middle of the work week. In this way, you don't quite see in the more affluent neighborhoods of Chicago.
And what about it first caught your ear? Like, what about this melody or mood? That piano part right there?
It's the way his saxophone, like, responds, you know, to the piano. It's like, it's, for me, it feels like it's the lead. It feels for me like it's the lead, and it's trying to pull it, lure it. That's how it feels to me.
It doesn't feel like the saxophone's the lead.
Yeah.
Today, what goes through your mind when you hear this?
I was thinking, I was like, man, I just kind of made it seem like it's gotten me just through tough times. And I was like, no, I have a lot of, like, beautiful memories also, like, with lovers, like, watching the sunrise, listening to this song, taking a bath together. Like, this song just is my life, actually. It's like everything.
You watch the sunrise to this song on Lake Michigan or somewhere else?
Yeah, I was. It was in Lake Michigan, but it, not here. Like, we decided to drive out to, like, Indiana. I don't know. We were just, like, talking and talking and talking all night, and we were like, let's just keep going and see where the car takes us. And we ended up, I think it was in Indiana, and we found the water, and, he asked me, like, if you could, like, where we are right now in this moment, like, what song? And I was like, this song. And I put this song on, and we're, like, watching the sunrise. And I was like, yeah, this song is everything. It gets me through everything.
And is this person still around? Still,
yeah, it's one of my best friends. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, yeah.
Why, you think the piano leads it?
I'd have to listen to it more closely. I don't know. It feels to me like they're definitely interacting. Maybe they're pushing and pulling. If you had to guess how many times you've played this song, what would you say?
thousands of times.
for someone who doesn't really understand, my dad is one of these people, he doesn't understand jazz. Really, it doesn't connect with him. I think he likes more structure, defined melodies, and that verses and choruses, and at least that's the impression he's given me. What would you say to that end? Like, I know that it's like not like you could change anyone's music taste or anything like that, but is there something that you'd say to that, like, lack of kind of formal structure in a song like that, and why you actually appreciate that about it?
I mean, I would say it's a. I would say that the universe, life is it finds its balance, but it also is constantly reminding us that nothing is really, really in our control. You know, like, you know, when I think of structure and the people that enjoy that or, you know, find comfort in it, there is this mathematics to it, right, that makes it feel safe and secure, and there's a level of control in that. And not to say that jazz has absolutely no type of control, but there's syncopation, there's improvisation, so it is like breathing. Like, when watching musicians or just interacting with musicians, jazz musicians, and as they're creating, it's about people's breaths and rhythms just kind of intertwining for the first time or getting to know each other. I mean, so it's allowing oneself to just be. That's how I think of jazz.
Actually, I found it after, like, me and my ex broke up a couple years ago.
This guy, 29 years old, is talking about a song called Just a Ride. It's by a British punk band called the Virgin Marys.
They're not big over here at all, but definitely listen to it quite often.
Okay. Quite often still to this day.
Oh, yeah.
As you can hear right there, it's a pretty angry, aggressive piece of music, and that makes perfect sense given the backstory of why he zeroed in on this song after he and his ex broke up.
Yeah, I mean, I was dating this girl for almost a year and a half, and I walked in on her cheating on me. And so I was just like called it, Thursday, it was like Friday morning, called off of work and everything like that, like, ended up going out that night with, like, a bunch of my friends and stuff like that, and just, like, getting drunk and fucking hanging out, and it fucking had YouTube on, and it came up, and I was, like, it was just, like, one of those songs, like, when you hear it that first time, it just, like, clicks, and I was, like, you know what, and I was, like, everything's gonna be fine, like, get over it eventually.
That's at least a very, like, objective, like, you at least have, I mean, I would assume, I know everything's shades of gray, but, like, that's a situation, you walk in on someone cheating on you, that's, like, a black or white situation, like, fuck that.
Yeah.
So what, can you take me through that moment? Like, when did it happen? You said you were out on a Thursday? Is that the day that
walked in? So I get off work at midnight, and she had been out with this guy that I was always kind of like, I was like, I don't know if they're just friends kind of thing. Like, there's always that, like, weird feeling.
Yeah.
Because, like, she had known him before me and her met. And so, but I always got that feeling. I was like, there's something kind of off about this, like, friendship. And then, like, so I got off work one night at, like, midnight, and I, like, stopped by her place, and it was, like, she's got, like, a big, like, bedroom window that looks over, like, the alley, where, like, where everybody parks, and, like, you could just see it from there. And
you just, like, see them in there?
Yeah, it's, like, she, like, you, like, I looked up, and you could see some, like, a bunch of movement. And so I walked up there, and I was, like, what the fuck is going on? And then you could see this dude's feet sticking out from, like, under the end of, like, the bed. And I was like, these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And, like, you could, because, like, the windows in her place are all shitty. So I was like, what the fuck is going on here? She's like, just leave. She's like, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, whatever.
So you just left?
There's a few more choice words in there, but yeah.
He's glad the song popped up on YouTube that next day and says he has been listening to Just a Ride consistently ever since.
the whole like premise of the song is like everything's just kind of just a ride. Like it's good times, bad times. Like you're gonna end up where you're gonna end up. So just kind of like one of those songs that's like, you know, when I'm happy, I'm listening to it. You know, I'm like everything's going great, and then you know, when bad things happen, you know, I listen to it and I'm like, you know what, shit's gonna get better eventually. It's all just, you know,
it's all part of the ride, the ups and the downs.
On that line, if you're gonna cheat on somebody, just break it off and, you know, go do your own thing, and it's just easier for everybody.
I totally agree. Hold me up until the day you die.
Climb above the sinking ship, biting on my bottom. So an obvious recurring theme in taking this question out to the passengers was love for a song being born out of some type of painful ordeal.
Ever since I've seen your face, this life of mine has gone to waste. I was young and you were old, but I always knew that you were cold. At the start, you had a heart, but in the end, you lost your friend. Now you see your own dark face. It's dying in a lonely place.
The story of why those lyrics by New Order became permanently etched in that woman's mind in just a minute, plus my own pick for most impactful song. But first, if you haven't joined up with me and other listeners of this show in the Backseat Rider community on Facebook, please do so. The link is in the show notes, and that is where listeners like yourself are sharing their own answers to Backseat Rider questions, and where I tend to post some behind-the-scenes stuff from out on the road. So I'd love for you to check that out and also share your most impactful song and the story of why. Also, if you haven't signed up for Lyft yet, please do so using my promo code for $50 in free ride credit. That info is also in the show notes. And I also want to take a quick second to tell you about one of the sponsors that is making it possible for me to bring you this podcast for free, and that is Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Well, here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket, it just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today.
Hey, this is Jordan Harbinger. I used to host the Art of Charm podcast, but now it's time for something new. The Jordan Harbinger Show. Did you know you can be entertained and actually get a boost in your life at the same time? On this show, we dig into the superpowers of the world's most interesting thinkers and top talents. Then we deliver them to you right into your ears. But I get it. We're not all superheroes. That's why we give you their blueprint so you can live what you listen. After 1,000 interviews, learning 5 languages, and getting arrested in a country that doesn't even exist anymore, I'm now more ready than ever to introduce you to the Jordan Harbinger Show. Listen free to The Jordan Harbinger Show, available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app.
I had somebody who squatted on a actual property I bought in Humboldt Park, and that cost me a lot of money. $250,000 to be exact.
It's a lot of money to lose, and that is just one reason that this woman, who is a property manager, she looked to be in her late 30s or early 40s. It's one reason that she chose a song by New Order called Face Up.
Tell me about the song.
It goes on about, it sounds as if every person they meet or certain relationships or situations they get into become problematic. So, for example, it says, ever since I've seen your face, this life of mine has gone to waste. I was young and you were old, but I always knew that you were cold. At the start, you had a heart, but in the end, you lost your friend. Now you see your own dark face. It's dying in a lonely place. Oh, how I cannot bear the thought of you. Ever since I've seen your face, this life of mine has gone to waste. I was And it resonates with me over experiences I've had with people in my life. Mm-hmm. Not that everything in my life has been miserable, but, you know, it's a reminder. There's a reason why some people are gone in your life. Keep moving on.
Over the years, though, she says she has gotten better and better at trimming the fat, so to speak, when it comes to those kinds of toxic relationships, cutting those people out of her life. The song, for her, is a continual reminder that that's important.
Well, I've traveled a lot in my life. I've been in 17 countries. I've had the chance to meet a lot of different kind of people. So, you know. But I've also met some very spectacular people, too. And that's why I'm very sensitive to those that are liars and thieves. Won't tolerate them.
When you say liars and thieves, are you talking about material stuff or just, like, stole time from you or stole something more figurative?
Both. It can be material or, you know, figuratively connotative, you know?
Yeah.
Different people have stolen different parts of my life, whether it was time or emotions or otherwise.
Yeah. And then what material possessions, though? Like, did you get...
I've had people take money out of my house that spent the night there. I've had people take property of mine. Various things in my life, and I tend now not to spend too much time with anybody who would do such a thing, because I have no need for them and no desire to be victims of them either.
The last time that she was a victim was when she lost more than $200,000 on a property because of squatters.
I wound up foreclosing on it because they squatted on my property for so long, and it took me so long to get them out of there, and I couldn't afford the nut on two places, so I couldn't move.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was brutal. And I'd known this person for 10 years. He and his mother did it. You're lucky I don't say the name and ruin them.
Yeah. No. So they squatted, which means they just stayed there without paying any rent.
They stayed there and didn't pay the rent.
And
I bought it from them. And I knew them for 10 years. And they did this. When you get when your mom gets involved in stealing property from others, that's pretty shitty. I didn't realize it was a family business.
What is the satisfaction factor when you listen to the song, Face Up?
Is that they're gone and out of my life. And I am glad to have had the experiences to be able to tell the difference.
Another passenger's go-to song was also born out of a painful experience that happened fairly recently.
I would think that there was something wrong with me, and then I would talk to him about it, and he's like, you're just overreacting. And then at that moment, I didn't realize that I was going through, like, emotional abuse.
This woman's only 20 years old. She graduated high school, and she took a gap year before going to community college so that she could be with her mom, who fought breast cancer before passing away. This is all very recently. She's still in that gap year, actually. Now, as she was going through all of that, she also realized that she had been in a toxic relationship with a guy. Her song, Brand New Me by Alicia Keys.
It's been a while. I'm not who I was before. You look surprised. Your words don't burn me anymore.
And how did you discover that one, and why did it connect with you at the time?
At that time, it's like about heartbreak and how the girl's just going through changes in her life after the breakup. And then afterwards, she's like, it's a brand new me. And she's like, I'm sorry, I now speak up for myself. I have my own voice. And the guy is mad about it because she's acting different. But it's just her being happy. And it's like, it's when she discovers that she doesn't need him anymore. And she's like, I'm happy without you. It's a brand new me.
Why do you feel like this song is your kind of go-to? Why do you think you chose that one?
I think because I was going through, like, the similar thing where it's, like, I was so used to being so independent, and then I got in a relationship, and then I kind of, my voice was kind of, like, I didn't really use my voice as much, and then after, I realized that, like, I really let go of myself, and then I needed to find myself, and I think that's why.
Did you discover that song when you were still with the person? Or did you discover it after, you broke up with them?
After. After the breakup, yeah. Because okay. I didn't realize until I finally spoke up and talked to a friend, and she was like, no, what he's doing is bad. Like, he's emotionally abusing you, and you don't even realize it. And then I didn't, at that moment, I was just mad at her because I'm like, you know what? Like, you don't make sense. We haven't talked in a while, and this is the first thing you're going to tell me. But then later on, I realized, like, after the breakup, it was like light bulb. It's like, wow. She was right. And then everything, like, all these signs were true and stuff. And I was like, they were always there. I was so blind, I couldn't see them.
What was a sign that you were blind to at the time, but you see them in full view now?
I guess people assume that, like, emotional abuse is when they tell you that, like, it's your fault and everything, but it's actually the other way around, where you do everything you think possible to make everything work out, but then he always makes it feel like it's his fault that he's not a good boyfriend, and that he makes you feel bad about it. So then he makes it look like he's a victim instead of the other way around. And then without realizing, I was like, wow. And it's like, he would hurt you, he would hurt me with, like, his words, and then at the moment I would just, like, oh, I should do better next time. I should not have done that. And then a simple I love you and a kiss in the forehead fixes everything.
They dated for 2 years and just broke up about 4 months ago. Now, she has listened to Brand New Me dozens, if not hundreds of times since the breakup.
I think before it was like at least 10 times a day. And now it's just like, I guess once, twice a week. And it's just like a little reminder, like, you're doing good.
It's just a brand new kind of free. That ain't bad. I found a brand new kind of me. Don't be mad. It's a brand new time for me.
So what do you feel like you will take away from that dynamic into future relationships then?
To never forget about myself, to put myself first regardless. I have to learn how to be more selfish in life and put myself first no matter what.
It's kind of weird. It's not exactly a song, but it's like this YouTube clip that was made, I don't know, several years ago.
This is a 31-year-old who was visiting from L.A. for a wedding. He works out there in the entertainment industry. And he answered the question a little bit differently. Instead of a song, he chose kind of a song/inspirational quote montage that he stumbled across on YouTube.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it.
The clip he's talking about is called Powerful Beyond Measure, and my passenger is responsible for a significant chunk of the 103,000 views that that clip has gotten so far.
During the most difficult times, I'll listen to it, like, on repeat for an hour. So, like, overall, oh man, over the years now, I at least like 400, 500 times.
It's got all these inspirational quotes. And similar to the first passenger we heard from today, he also busted his phone out right there to introduce me to the clip.
I have wrestled with an alligator. I done tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning. I'm gonna show you how
bad
I am.
It's badass, right?
This is badass.
Definitely.
So it's full of Ali quotes, then.
Oh yeah, yeah. Ali.
I know you got him picked, but the man's in trouble. I'm gonna show you how bad I am.
I don't know if you can hear right there, but he has clearly memorized it. And like other passengers we've heard from, he came across the song at a real low point in his life. In Providence, Rhode Island, that's where he, years ago, was really lonely. He was working a consulting job that he didn't really like. And at that point, he didn't know whether to quit the job or just try to ride it out.
You know, I was working a lot of hours. Didn't have that many friends around in that city because I dropped in there and didn't know that many people. And, you know, I think you get to a point where you have to decide whether you're going to, like, try to punch through it and, like, you know, really, like, just grit your teeth and, like, deal with, like, a crappy situation, or you try to, you know, take the bull by the horns and say, like, screw it, I'm just going to, you know, I got to change this. You know, I don't have to deal with this. I can make my own life decisions. I'm not stuck here. And you know, I think that's what that music, that song, or that, you know, that clip really helped me come to, you know, kind of push me to, like, think, you know, you really are the, you know, the conductor of your own train, you know, life train. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was, you know, it was a point where, you know, I was, like, you know, feeling pretty broken because I hate the idea of quitting. But at the same time, I was like, I had to make a change at some point. And that was like, I think that music or that clip really got me to that point where I could, like, pull the trigger and say, I'm out.
All you chumps are gonna bow when I whoop him. All of you, I know you got him. I know you got him, Dick. But the man's in trouble. I'm gonna show you how great I am.
All right, I realize that pretty much all of these passengers have chosen songs where the choice was based on some type of painful situation. But that was not the case for everybody. And we got to end on a high note, right?
Every time that's come on my playlist or, you know, shuffling through stuff, it's not one that I skip over no matter what mood I'm in. It's always one that I actually sit and listen to.
This woman just turned 26. And she works as a nurse in the cardiac and transplant unit at a local hospital. And I was dropping her off en route to a long weekend at her boyfriend's family lake house. Now, the song she's talking about that she always listens to all the way through is called This Kind of Love by Sister Hazel.
This kind of love makes me feel 10 feet tall. It makes all my problems fall.
It's truly just a love song, like, absolutely about a relationship. And back when I was in high school, it always reminded me of my parents and how strong they were and how impactful their love has been on my life and my siblings and everybody else around us. And more recently, I've started dating somebody who I'm, like, pretty confident about. And that song reminds me now of our relationship. And it's just a really good, very easy lyrics, very easy to understand. You definitely get the message in, like, the first verse.
Okay.
But it's, I think there's a lot of truth to what they're saying about a relationship, about how love gives you strength, how love gives you hope, and how you can find that in one other person.
Is there,
and I know, super cheesy, super corny.
No.
The one phrase that keeps repeating is just, this kind of love is what I dream about. And it fills me up and it leaves no doubt. And I really like that.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting. Now, granted, I'm not married and, yes, I'm head over heels for this stupid boy. But, like, I'm pretty sure we're on the same page with this one. And I'm pretty sure he's just as confident about me as I am about him. And we don't live together. We don't see each other every day.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a thing. And there will go, like, a solid week or two where we don't see each other. And it's just like, I listened to that song and it made me think of you and I miss you and I love you. And, you know, all that cheesy crap. But I definitely think that, like I said, there are truth to those words. That love should fill you up with hope and it should leave no doubt in your mind. And if you find that, then, you know, you're good, right?
I loved hearing how differently everybody answered this question, how differently everybody interpreted the question, and my hope is that at least one of the songs connected with you in some kind of deep way. For me, it was that Coltrane Duke Ellington tune called In a Sentimental Mood. That one is about to become a regular part of my rotation. I absolutely love that one. Thank you to that first passenger for introducing me to it. And all the picks were so different than my pick for most impactful piece of music, which is this one.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? taxi, caught in a landslide, no escape from reality.
So the reason that I chose Bohemian Rhapsody was my parents basically raised me and my brother and my sister on classical music. It's what they love, and I think they wanted to kind of instill this like foundation of classical music. We were all in piano lessons at the time. And so when it's funny because when Wayne's World, of all things, came out, that was the movie that introduced so many people from my generation to the song Bohemian Rhapsody. And I just became enthralled with this song. And it actually wound up playing this big role in a shift for me musically. So I was pretty much on classical music only, and playing piano was kind of a have to rather than want to type of situation. And so once I heard that song, became kind of obsessed with it, I learned it on the piano, it completely changed my trajectory musically, and I started playing a lot more kind of classic rock tunes, and that is something that continues to this day. I always play the piano. It's so relaxing. It's a big part of my life. And classic rock, yeah, I mean, I still play a lot of it. And so thank you, Queen, and thank you, Wayne's World. And I'd love to hear your pick for an impactful piece of music that's had an effect on your life, the story behind why you chose that song, of course. If you'd like to share it, send me a note on social media. I'm at Anthony Ponce on Facebook. Last name is spelled P-O-N-C-E. Also, please join up with us in the Backseat Rider community on Facebook. If you haven't already, you can find that by searching Facebook groups for Backseat Rider. And I'm going to put links to all of this, along with the list of the songs that we heard in this episode, in the show notes for your convenience if you want to find those songs and listen to them a little more closely. It's been really cool, actually, to get home from driving and listen to these songs with the passenger's backstory in mind while you're listening to them. They all take on new meaning, so that was cool. Again, everything to find those songs and find me online is in the show notes. And that is going to do it for me. Until next week, everybody. Backseat Rider is edited by Bob Gilmartin and produced by me with the help of Louis Kazmarek. Also, thank you so much to everybody at WTTW and WTTW.com for their support of this podcast. Look for new episodes of Backseat Rider every Wednesday on PodcastOne.com, the all-new Podcast One app, which is available in the App Store and on Google Play. A lot of new features on that. And you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Backseat Rider.